This is Doug Miller. How do you do with this business of love? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with the Word of God in hand to tell the simple and unvarnished truth to the extent that we are able and that I am able to muster it up and get it out here. Now, I say that because I'm sure all of us get confused from time to time about the truth and what is and what isn't, but to the extent that the Lord has given me insight and any clarity of vision into His Word and into what's in here, I trust and I pray that I am faithful in giving out the truth, and I trust and pray that you are praying for me. As I have said many times on here, we are a faith ministry, absolutely and utterly dependent upon our listeners and other interested parties who are interested in dialogue, and we covet your prayers above all else. If you do anything for us, please pray for us. Because without your prayers and without your support, we are nothing, zero. If the Lord takes his hand off of this ministry, we are nothing. So pray for us. And, of course, as I always say, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. Now, before we get into the Bible here, and we'll begin looking at the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1, let me tell you that Dialogue is going up with a webpage on the worldwide net. I'll have more to say about this later on. If I seem a little slow in talking about it, it's because I don't know anything about it. I'm not the one that is doing this. There are other interested parties, including my wife and daughter, who are laboring to get this web page up and running. And, of course, Paul Sublett and others have given us some real help on this. If it were up to me, nothing would get up and running like this because I am technologically challenged, to say the least. I don't know how an electric can opener works. But we're going up with this web page, and it's in process, and it's in the works right now. And when we get it up and running, of course, the broadcasts will be on it and written materials and other things about Dialogue Ministries. So pray for this as well. All right, Hebrews 13, chapter, or verse 1. Love. Friend of mine, Leonard Linstead, was preaching one day, and he started like this. He said, we're going to talk about love, so let's turn to the love chapter, the 13th chapter of, and then he kind of hesitated a minute, and our fingers, all began flying, opening up to 1 Corinthians 13, what we supposed was the love chapter, and then after a little pause, he smiled and said, 13th chapter of Hebrews. Well, this is a love chapter. It's a lot about love, and it has a lot to say to us about love. And brothers and sisters, if there's anything this guy talking to you needs to hear, it's about love. God's love, his divine love, and real love as opposed to just schmaltzy feelings. I have had a problem in this area, I'll frankly and freely confess to you. Much of my life, and particularly I say much of my life as a Christian. Now, a long time ago when I was first saved, someone told me that, you know, we ought to love one another and love the brethren and love the Lord and so on and so forth, and I know what we ought to do. My problem with this, and I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'll just confess to you openly here, my problem with it is that I've always been so in love with myself that it's kind of difficult sometimes to work anyone else into my program. Now, I don't know if that shocks or upsets any of you, but if it does, well, let it upset you and then write my name down and pray for me, because really, I have been so self-absorbed so much of my life that when someone talks to me about love and when they do not confess to being equally self-absorbed, I have a tendency to suspect they're not being honest with me. The problem is with being honest in and of itself doesn't get you anything, doesn't get you anywhere. You can be honest about your shortcomings, but they remain your shortcomings unless the Lord takes you in hand to deal with you and unless something happens to get you out of these shortcomings and problems. It is not enough to simply say, as I just said, that I've always had a problem in this area because I am so self-absorbed and so in love with myself. It's not enough to say that. That's no good at all. All that is doing is confessing to my own innate selfishness and sinfulness and all of the problems that are wrapped up in me that the Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for. You know, I am the man, I am the sinner whom Christ came to save. And, you know, and these sins and these shortcomings of mine, which include selfishness, are things that the Lord needs to deal with me on. Now, the question is, what am I to do about this? What are you to do about it? If you are out there and you are similarly afflicted and you're saying, well, yeah, I guess I've kind of got a little problem there. If that's how you are, what are we going to do about it? Now, all of you men who are listening to me, I want to say something to you especially. I have often said my wife is more compassionate by accident than I am on purpose. Women generally are more apt to, in my experience anyway, are more apt to be compassionate and caring and merciful and nurturing and things that generally or often at least just don't occur to men. So men, you may have a particular problem in this area, and women, you may have one too, but maybe a little less. I don't know. But I know that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 begins like this. Let brotherly love continue. And guess what this word, this hospitality business. The word for brotherly love, incidentally, in case any of you are interested out there, is the word that we get our word Philadelphia from. Let Philadelphia. In fact, the Greek is exactly Philadelphia. Love of the brethren. Let it continue. And all of you folks from Philadelphia out there, you have, of course, all heard that Philadelphia called a city of brotherly love. And that's because that's what the name means. Let Philadelphia continue. It's all one word in the Greek. And, of course, if we're to let it continue, that assumes that it was already going in one capacity or another, doesn't it? And I hope that it is. The question is, what is this brotherly love that we are to let continue? How does it work? Well, you know, one of the things that I've had to learn as I've gone along through life is that love is generally, particularly in this regard, is often an action rather than a feeling. How you feel about someone is not so important, perhaps, as how you behave toward them. And in fact, as we read these first four verses of Hebrews, we're going to find that that love really is an action. If you go back and read 1 Corinthians 13, you will find this again, how often we see that love is really an action. how you feel about someone, think about what Paul wrote about love. Though I speak, and let me just quote here, I'm not even looking at this. I've read it so often, and if I misquote it, you'll forgive me, but I'll get pretty close. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing, or I am nothing. I'm a spiritual zero. Now think about that. All of you eloquent people out there who pride yourself on your being able to talk eloquently and smoothly. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I give my body to be burned, I missed one there, and as I said, I'm just doing this from memory, bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I can do all of this, and Paul tells us very carefully that it amounts to nothing spiritually. I'm a spiritual zero. I might be a spellbinder. I might be giving away a lot of things and doing a lot of things, but if I don't have love, well, what is this love? Well, he goes on and tells us, doesn't he? Love is long-suffering. It is kind. It is not envious. It is not boastful. It is not rude. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It believes all things. Love never fails. And, of course, we look in this, let brotherly love continue. And verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. It's very interesting. This word brotherly love in verse 2 is also in another form. The same word, entertain strangers, in verse 2 down there. So it's Philadelphia. It's a love of strangers. It's hospitality. We are to be hospitable. And, of course, when you look at this, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. I immediately think of how Abraham, when he was sitting in his tent door, way back in Genesis 18, you can go back and read it, and even over into Genesis 19, the story continues over in that. And he sees these three men approaching, and he runs out to meet them. And he says, come in, please, wash your feet. Let me prepare some food for you. He was hospitable and entertained these strangers. And, of course, it turned out that they were angels, messengers from God, who had come to tell him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's precisely what we have here. Some have entertained angels unaware, not even aware of it. Now, this is a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And then it goes on. Now, look at this. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You know, I think there is no way in which Christians show themselves as Christians any better than when they are doing what many of you are doing right now. We've just recently had this terrible earthquake down in Haiti. I was so glad to see. It was so heartwarming to see how quickly the Christians and the churches reacted to this. We had the same thing in Katrina, when Katrina hit New Orleans. And every time you see a disaster like this, you see this. Americans are a generous giving people in general, and I mean very much. We've always been this way, but no one is more generous and more giving than the people in the churches. They are swift to offer help in any way that they can, and this is exactly what we are supposed to do. Now, at the time this letter was written, there were many Christians that were locked up in prisons because they were Christians. And in fact, our writer to the Hebrews, he talks about this later on. He talks about, you know, himself having been locked up. He talks about Timothy being locked up. And he is set at liberty, but he's been locked up. And we are to remember these people. I am constantly reading things in magazines, newspapers, whatever, about Christians today that are in persecution and are very much under the gun. In India right now, the Christians are being terribly persecuted. and by Hindus. Absolutely true. I mean, for those of you who think of the Hindus as being very spiritual people and all of that, well, they are persecuting Christians. And if you don't believe it, just keep looking at the newspapers, keep reading magazines. You will see this on and on. Tremendous persecutions against Christians, tremendous persecutions against Christians in Muslim areas. And many of our brothers and sisters right now are very much under the gun, as it were, and being persecuted. And we ought to remember them. It is very important that we do this. They need our help, and they need our prayers, and they need our assistance. I've said this on here before, but here it comes again. I read an article not long ago by a Jew. This was an editorial in the newspaper, this Jewish man. And he said, and I don't know exactly where he got his facts, but he seemed to know very much what he was talking about. He said the Christians are the most persecuted religion in the world today. Now, that comes as a little bit of a surprise to us in this country we live in, because we are certainly not persecuted now in this country. And a lot of people don't like us. A lot of people would like to shut us up. A lot of people don't like programs like the very one you're listening to right now. But we're not persecuted. But in the world in general, we are. And once again, according to this man, the most persecuted religion in the world today, Christianity. And he said in this editorial, it surprised him that the Christians in this country seem to react so little to this. They don't seem to know it. They don't seem to be concerned much about it. And he didn't understand why. Why would we not be? Well, good question. Why would we not be? There are Christians out there right now that are in bonds, that are suffering adversity. And according to Hebrews 13:3, we are to remember them, because they are in the body, and we are in a unified condition with them. We are one in Christ. They are a part of us, and we are a part of them, and we are to remember them. Now, let's go on down to verse 4. Oh, here's a good one about love, isn't it? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But look at this one. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, marriage is declared here to be honorable, and I don't know if it is or not anymore. I know that in the particular state from which I'm broadcasting at this moment, about half our marriages end in divorce. And I know that nationwide this is an affliction. I don't know that marriage is held in much honor anymore. And, of course, people out there living in adultery, it's almost like a plague that has swept over us. There's so much of this going on. And there's something that all of you need to know, and that I need to know, that we need to think about. God takes this very seriously, and God takes your wedding vows very seriously. And if you don't take them seriously, you had better straighten up real quick, because you are setting yourself up for judgment. But marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. And of course, this is a wonderful institution. It's God ordained. And this should be an institution where true love is expressed between a man and a woman. You notice I didn't say between a man and a man, or between a woman and a woman, because that is not marriage. If I offended any of you, good, you need to be offended. And you need to understand that not only will God judge whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge homosexuality. And if you don't believe it, just go back and read what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to give you a little time to write that down. At the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul declares flatly that no acting active homosexual will be in heaven. You may not like that. But there it is. Deal with it. And, you know, if you say, well, he was just a bigot, fine. You go on thinking that, and the day will come when the truth will be out, and you will stand before the Lord, and you will give an account, and you will not come off well. All right? And if you didn't like that one, go back and read the first chapter of Romans and see what Paul says about homosexuality. It's very clear that God does not countenance this and does not like it. All right? But marriage is honorable. And all of you who are married, I'd suggest you take a look at your spouse and work at it a little harder. Work at your marriage a little bit. Work at showing that person to whom you're married that you do indeed love him or her, that you are indeed concerned about him or her. And, the bed is undefiled, and if you've got a problem there, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. So, once again, sometimes this stuff has to be worked on a little bit, but it helps to see what God has said about this. Now, we are running out of time. Got about 2 or 3 minutes left here. And so, rather than get into verse 5, let's just go back and kind of recap what we've seen here. Brotherly love, very important. Love of the brethren, love of strangers even, entertaining strangers, hospitality, love of those who are in bonds and who are afflicted and who are suffering adversity, love of those who are closest to us, our wives, our children, those in our homes, those in our churches. Very important that we do this. I think probably in no way are we more in our behavior reflective of God than in this area. Let me just remind you in closing that God is love. John tells us this in his first letter, doesn't he? And he says he that dwells in God loves. Or who loves, I got that backward, dwells in God, and God in him. And he goes on to tell us that the individual who does not love doesn't know God and hasn't seen him. Very important that we get this. Man came to Jesus once and said, what's the great commandment? Jesus didn't hesitate a moment. He said, the great commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he didn't stop there, did he? He went on and he said, the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how like it is that second commandment? How much is loving your neighbor like loving God? Well, it is so much like it that John, in his first letter, once again, tells us that where we don't have one, we don't have the other. You can say you love God, but if you don't love your brother, you're kidding yourself, and you may be trying to kid other people, but you are not kidding God. Love, extremely critical. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.